You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
You could be arrested tomorrow. Somebody can accuse you of something and you can be arrested. And it's another world. Once you hear those doors close behind you, you saw some pictures there. There was a fellow there. Some of them when they were inmates, and then you saw them with their family or they're out. There's a guy there that in 2005, he had his hair down to about here. And he was in the county jail for 5 months, accepted the Lord. And he told me, he said, hey, I'm looking for a church. And I gave him an address of a church. He was released at midnight and he walked straight to that church. He didn't go home to his wife and kids. That clothes that he was arrested in was in a bag for 5 months. He put that on and he walked to that church and waited for them to open church. Then you saw a picture of his whole family. That gentleman now runs the radio ministry for that church. It's amazing what God will do with one person. Amen. When they get saved. You know, 3 out of 4 people are arrested. 3 out of 4 go back to prison or jail. But of those that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and get into a good Bible study, only 10% go back. The difference is the Word of God. The difference is the Word of God. We didn't go over there, give them a Time magazine, Sports Illustrated. We opened up the Word of God, gave them the gospel. Sometimes a guy can be arrested so many times and he keeps coming back. And he keeps coming back and we still love him. We don't care what they've done, where they've been. We're interested in where they're going when they die. You know, and that's what the prison ministry is all about. A few things about what the Word of God is. Jeremiah 23:21 said, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You see, the Word of God is what makes the difference. The Word of God is a water of life. The Word of God is a sword that penetrates to the bone. And many people that have not heard the Word of God, they've never heard it, so when they hear it, the Word of God will not be returned void, and God speaks to the hearts of men and women. Thank you for having us here. It's been a blessing. I've got 2 messages here, and Brother Sammy says, Brother, you know what you're going to preach? I said, well, I got 2 messages. Halting not against 2 opinions, right? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But one of them says hell, and the other one says hell is real. So they're really the same thing. And you know why missionaries go to other countries? To tell people about Jesus so they won't go where? To hell. Hell is a word used a lot in the United States. People use it frequently. Can I get an amen, somebody? Maybe you used to use it. You know, you should use it. As a Christian, you should use the word hell more than the people that are lost use it. Are you following me tonight? You should. The Bible says in Matthew 28, we've heard this over and over, and we're going to hear it one more time. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye into all the world and teach the nations. Teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We need to make disciples. The word teach in verse 19 is to get people saved, converts, and to teach them. I went to this prison for 20 years every Tuesday, every second Tuesday of the month for 20 years. And I would go there and then I'd talk to my pastor. I said, you know what, pastor, if these inmates get saved, they need to get baptized. You see, if they get baptized in prison, there's no connection with a church. So I got the authority from my pastor, if we led anybody to the Lord in a prison, to baptize them the following month when we went there, teach them what baptism was, and then give them a certificate from the church to connect them with the church. It needs to be done biblically. Can I get an amen, somebody? And so these folks that are going to other countries, when they lead somebody to the Lord, they'll baptize them. They have the authority to baptize them. You know, we're Baptists. Amen. Amen. And how sad if we're Baptists and we don't baptize. Well, can I get an amen right there? Amen. You know, So we go, why? It says to go. To go? To go, yeah, we're supposed to go. That's good. Every one of us should go. You know, Pastor just said something powerful. He said, where you at here in the United States, at school, at work, wherever you're at, you are to go and give the gospel here. We forget about here. You know, before I was a before I was called to go preach in 1988, I was in the Marine Corps Reserves in 4th Recon in San Antonio, and I went to jump school in 1988, and I got there, and I had a burden for the souls. I wasn't called to preach. You know, I believe that people need to hear about the Lord. So there I was in Fort Benning, Georgia, and we're getting ready to jump the next day. And I went from room to room. Hey, if your chute doesn't open tomorrow, so what do you mean if my chute don't open? I said, look, if your parachute don't open, where are you going? Man, don't be talking to me like that. I said, look, why do you think you have an extra? We've trained for a whole week that as soon as you go out of that airplane, if you count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four. If you don't feel that yank, you better pull that reserve. Because you're going to, man, don't be talking to me. I said, you know what? What happens to you if you die tomorrow? And I was able to present the gospel. And I saw 12 soldiers accept Jesus Christ the day before we had our first jump. Can I get an amen right there? Now, when we went up in the airplane and we're getting ready to jump and the pilot is flying, they're not going to tell you thank you for flying Delta. Everybody's going out of that plane, I'm telling you. Everyone is going out of that plane, even the instructors. And they say, 2 minutes, and your heart starts going, it's going to happen. Everybody's scared, but they act real cool like they ain't scared. I guarantee you every one of us was scared. But there was one captain get up, and he goes, I said, man, what are you doing? You're scaring everybody, man. They said, stand up. And everybody stands up. Hook up. And you hook up. And then you go to the door. I happened to be the first one. That instructor, they open up the hatch. He puts his foot like that. Pulls himself out of the airplane. His face is moving. Saliva's going all over the place. He goes, Then he says, stand in the door. And they teach you you're not supposed to look down. Man, he hits me in the butt. Boom. It's like if you're driving a car 90 miles an hour and you throw a piece of paper out the window. And man, I'm telling you, 1,000, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, ready to pull that thing. Then that thing opens up and such a peace up there. You look down and you see the trees look so tiny, but then you realize you're coming down 20 to 18 feet per second, and you got to land. And hey, praise the Lord, I landed. But you know what? People were scared that they were going to die. And we got to warn people. We ought to warn people that there's a hell, a real hell. Yes, love. We got to tell them in love, not in hate. One of the problems is sometimes we try to scare them and just, you're going to hell. Yes, they are. He that believeth not shall be damned, the Bible says. I remember this lady I used to work, and she was one of those witches that would read people's hands. And I told her, I can read your hand. She said, you can? I said, yeah. I said, let me see your hand. She goes like, I said, you're going to hell. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? You see, people don't like you when you tell them the truth. The truth shall set you free. Had this Muslim inmate told me, he said, you know, you're a Christian. I can slap you right now, and you got to forgive me because you're a Christian. I said, man, you slap me right now, I'm going to slap you back and ask the Lord to forgive me. Amen. Well, can I get an amen right there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. We're not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. People are dying and going to hell. And we're not telling them nothing. We're just letting them go to hell. Yeah, we care. We care about folks, so we tell them. Brother Sammy and I were, took my wife and I, and he took us to Laguna Beach, and we were walking there watching some paintings, you know, galleries really love art. And we came to this shop, and a guy named Don Beto, and Brother Sammy, we pulled the track, gave him one of your tracks, and started talking to him about heaven and hell. Why? That guy's going to hell. He said, well, I got a lot of relatives, and they're a bunch of hypocrites. I said, they're going to have to answer for themselves. What about you? What about you? I said, sir, what if this was your house, and we were passing by, and this house was on fire, and we just kept on driving? You wouldn't appreciate that, would you? You'd want us to say, hey, fire, fire, fire. You'd want us to warn you. You see, we ought to warn people, or else their blood is in our hands. You see, you support missionaries all over the world, and these missionaries go on your behalf, and you support them, and that goes to your account. But what are you doing here in your community? What are you doing at work? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do you carry tracts? Do you invite people to church? Amen? I wonder if you go to your house, how many of these are just sitting around in your house? Stacking up. That happens to all of us. You ought to bring them back and put them in the shelf if you ain't going to use them. Let somebody else take them. Well, you're meddling now, Brother Vada. Amen. Hey, that's the way I preach in the prisons. You know, them inmates know how to take it. You know, they come to church and they praise and they love the Lord and they care about others and they're in prison. Some inmates are free and they're locked up, but they're free. And there are some people that are free, but are locked up. Huh? There's inmates praying for me that God will use me as I'm preaching in churches, in conferences. When I get back to prison on Sunday, they'll ask me, hey, brother, how did it go? We were praying for you. Inmates, they're doing life in prison. I'll get on my knees and 18 inmates will go around and they'll lay hands and they'll pray for me that God will use me. They love the Lord. They care about souls. Yeah, they messed up, but God saved them and their lives have changed. Yeah. Then I go to churches and say, hey, God has called me to the prison. Will you pray for me? Will you help me? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Huh? Hey, Brother Vada, how did it go in the prison revival? Huh? I'm telling you, man, it's a blessing to go to prison and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Being held captive is reserved continuously in hell. When one dies, the soul either immediately goes to the presence of the Lord or immediately goes to hell. You're going to have an escort service. Angels will take you to heaven or demons will take you to hell. You say, I don't believe in hell. Just don't die. As long as you don't die, you'll be all right. Amen. Hell is real. The doctrine of hell should make us as Christians want to reach the lost so that they will turn to Christ for salvation. If we could open up the carpet and we could dig through this floor and go all the way and take a peek at hell, and just take a glimpse at hell, our lives would change. You know, William Booth said it'd be better for him to take his students to hell for 4 seconds than to have 4 years of college, a Bible college. Why? Because if we saw a glimpse of hell, of people burning and never being consumed, our lives would change. When I was on that USS Peleliu, and they invited me to that Bible study, and that preacher said, if you're here tonight and you don't want to go to hell, raise your hand. I raised my hand. And I told my buddies, did you hear what he said? He said, if you don't want to go to hell, raise your hand. I don't know about you, man. I don't want to go to hell. And a sailor. You know, Marines don't like sailors, and sailors don't like Marines. We call them squids, and they call us jarheads, right? We hate to admit that we're the Department of the Navy, but we're the men's department, amen? But anyway, amen. The Lord took a Navy guy and took the Bible and took me to the Romans Road. And I got on my knees on July 18, 1982 and cried out to the Lord and asked him to forgive me. And he saved my soul. I'm telling you, hey, I'm not going to hell. And I got to the Philippines and I called my mom and I said, Mommy, recibí a Jesucristo como mi Señor y Salvador. I said, Mom, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the best news my mom ever heard. Because she was praying for her lost prodigal son. A man said, does human opinion change the situation? Actually, there's either is or is not a future in eternal punishment. Whether you believe it or not, hell is real. Jesus preached on hell 14 times, describing hell. He spoke once, describing heaven. In John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and hell and judgment are either referred to or described 234 times. If we were on a highway 260 miles long, and on that highway there were 234 signs warning of danger, surely we would have brains enough to seek out another road. You know, we need to warn people about hell. As a young Christian, a guy came to my house and he knocked on the door, and I don't know how he did it. You know, when you go soul winning, you're trying to get in the house. Can I get a witness? You're trying to get in so that you can sit down and give him the gospel. This guy, a salesman, selling Viking fire alarms. And I don't know how he made it. He was in the living room. I don't know how he got in there, but he was in there. And then he's got this alarm going, fire, 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 going through every room in my house. You know, I grew up in the hood. I'm thinking he's trying to find out what I got to steal from me, amen? And I said, hey, what you doing? He said, hey, you have a family? Well, I have a son and a wife. What if that's hot? Is the house burned? You need one of these. I said, well, if it burns, we'd only go to heaven. What do you mean? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He packed his stuff and he was out of there, bro. Amen. How many times you've been pulled over by an officer because you're going too fast? And he gives you a warning sign, a warning ticket. You ever got a warning ticket? Man, as soon as you get pulled over, you start praying, Lord, help him give me a warning ticket. Lord, I'll never speed again. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Please, dear God, I'm asking for mercy. Yeah, we all done it, right? This guy pulled me over, and he said, you know, I don't know why, but I'm going to give you a warning. Really, officer? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so excited. And he signs it. And I said, are you done? He said, yeah. I said, then I pulled out the track. I said, I'm going to give you a warning. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know, I believe you did your job. You stopped me. You were supposed to stop me because I was speeding. And I want to thank you for giving me a warning. But let me tell you something. God allowed you to stop me so I can give you a warning. There's a hell. And Jesus loves you. And he died on the cross for your sin. And here, sir, you read this and whew, I'm out of there. Amen. We ought to take every opportunity to warn folk. You know, this is the easiest way to witness to people. It's so simple. You don't have to say much. We're driving through the drive-thru, and my son Danilo, he orders a burger and a Coke or whatever, and I get to the deal, and I put out a credit card, and I say, ma'am, I found this credit card in a parking lot. I'm going to see if it works. She looked at me, and she's... And my wife shaking her head over there. I said, I'm just kidding, ma'am. Here, let me give you this $5 or this $10 bill. You take counterfeit, right? I said, ma'am, how much are your Cokes? She said, $1.29. I said, well, how much are your refills? She said, our refills are free. I said, well, let me have a refill. You know, she laughs. She laughs, and I said, ma'am, let me give you something to read when you have a chance. She takes the track. She gives me a free Coke. And my son said, Dad, that was cool. You got a free Coke, and you gave her a track. That was cool. You know, it's fun. You can make it fun. Amen. Just don't do it like my buddy did me. He said, we're in a grocery store, and a lady's walking, and he turns around at me, and he says, what do you mean I'm going to hell if I don't ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart? And I said, hey, Travis, what are you doing? Sir, what do you mean if I don't ask Jesus to forgive me, I'm going to hell? Like if he don't know me. And everybody in the grocery store is looking around. Hey, Travis, what are you doing, man? People walking around. So he's preaching as if I'm preaching to him. Try that on your soul winning partner next time you go out there. You got to be creative, amen? But warn people. We ought to warn people about hell. You know, Mark 9:44, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Psalms 86:13. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You see, hell is real. When the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, in hell, people say, well, that's just a parable. In hell, he had a name. Lazarus, the rich man, Jesus in his mercy didn't mention the rich man's name. He could have. He could have said Joe Garcia, the rich man. Joe Moore, the rich man. But he didn't do that. In hell, lifted up his eyes. Now, and he cried for a drop of water. I mean, what's a drop of water? Can you imagine? What's that going to do when you're burning in hell? You have loved ones that died and went to hell? You're going to heaven? The Lord's going to wipe away the tears. How can we enjoy heaven knowing that a lost loved one died and went to hell? Somebody told you, sir. Somebody told me, ma'am. Stories told of a man in a town, the old drunk. Everybody knew the old drunk. One day he drowned in this lake, and they paid for scuba divers to go down there and find his body. And when the funeral service is going on, the preacher says, we cared so much for his body that we paid scuba divers to find his body. But what did we do for his soul? What do we do for his soul? Church, what you're doing for souls is an amazing thing. You're sending people all over the world because you care about souls. But don't forget your own soul winning responsibility at home with your children. Very important that we tell people, Matthew 7:49-50, the angels shall come forth and serve the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. However, people go to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is real. In this country, what has happened is they tell us that there's no God. There's no God. There's no God. They take the commandments off of places. I was telling the Spanish church there in Oklahoma City, in the Capitol, we had the Ten Commandments that were right there in the Capitol. And some guy drove his car and he literally crashed into the Ten Commandments there on the Capitol. So they arrested him, and he was there in the Oklahoma County Jail. So I went up to his cell. I went up to his cell, and I opened up the bean hole, and I looked in there and said, hey, how's it going? All right. I said, hey, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? He said, yeah. I said, have you ever broken any of the commandments? (Laughter) Hey, he broke every one of them right there in the Capitol, amen. The guard is listening to me. He's chuckling over there because he knows who the guy is. He got out and he went and did the same thing in Arkansas. Hit the Ten Commandments they have over there. But anyway, he broke every one of them. And so we need to explain to people that they've broken God's law. And if they reject Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. You see, don't be embarrassed or ashamed to tell somebody the truth. I thank God for that young man, Danilo Rodriguez, that came to me and came to me and came to me after I cussed him and rejected it. But he kept coming and telling me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He don't want you to die and go to hell. He's a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church right now. He's a retired Marine. And he said, Vara, he said, there's like five guys that I'm working on, like I was working on you on that ship. He works over here in one of the nuclear plants around here somewhere. And you know what his job is to tell people about Jesus. Never been called full time, but all he did was witness to people. And that's what we're supposed to do. Man, I'm telling you, it's exciting to see, you know, everything that the Lord's done in my life goes to his account. Because he was faithful at work telling me about Jesus, telling others about Jesus. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to see how God works when you warn people. In hell, you can see. What did he say? The rich man said, well, send Lazarus so he can tell my brothers. So when somebody in hell is hoping that somebody can go tell their loved ones. You know what our problem is, church? You get mad with a family member and then you can't tell them about the Lord. And you ask somebody else, hey, can you go witness to my... Why can't we do it? Because we have a bad testimony with our own family. And you want somebody else to go over there. Let me tell you something. If you go where you're at, God will send somebody to where your people are at. Are you listening? If you witness to people where you're at, God will send somebody to your people, wherever they're at. Some people don't want their children to be missionaries because they'd be all over in another part of the world or something. That's not good. If that's what God wants them, they're safer in a place like that. They're safer in God's will. Every now and then at the jail, somebody will cuss me out and tell me to go to hell. And I said, I can't. Oh, just go to hell. I can't. Why don't you just tell me to go to heaven? Because that's where I'm going. You can tell me to go to hell all you want, but I can't. I should. If I was God, I'd be the first one I sent to hell. But thank God for his mercy and his grace and his love. You know, I just want to tell you a little bit about the prison ministry, kind of try to put it in there. And here in California, there's a lot of people in Oklahoma from California. There's gang members that left here to go to Oklahoma to start gangs over there. And I've had the opportunity to meet some of those guys that were leaders of those gangs and be able to witness to them. There was one guy that was a main guy for the gang. And I went up to his cell and he said, as soon as you leave, I'm going to stab this guy that's in this cell over here because he did something to some young person. And in prison, the rule is if somebody does something to a child, they give somebody the okay to go ahead and stab that guy, beat him down. And I went up to him and I showed him what Jesus said. I said, you know, let me show you what Jesus said. Jesus said it'd be better for that guy to have a milestone round around his neck and be cast into the depths of the sea. It'd be better for him to never have been born. Man, Jesus said that? Jesus is cool. And you know, that's what Jesus said. Can I get an amen, somebody? And so the guy says, man, I didn't know Jesus said that. Well, you got to just look at what he says. You see, and you connect with people like that, but you know what makes the difference? The Word of God. And so that guy gave that guy a pass and he let him slide. Why? Because of Scripture. It's the Word of God that there's power in the Word of God. Hell is a place that you don't want anybody, even your enemies, to go. Eternal or everlasting. In it is used 66 times in the Greek New Testament. 51 times is used in happiness of the righteousness in heaven. It is used of eternal life that will be experienced with God. 2 times of the duration of God in His glory. 6 times the word is used where there is no doubt that it means that which is endless or never ending. 7 times it is used of punishment of the wicked. One of the references is in Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them is like manner giving themselves over to the fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's all over the Word of God. It's forever. You don't want people to go there. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of the things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, every knee shall bow one day and say that Jesus is Lord. One of the fastest growing religions in prison is the Muslim religion. Islam. They say it's a peaceful religion. Wow. I said, you know, they brought a woman to Jesus. They caught in adultery. And he said, go and sin no more. They brought one to Muhammad and he cut her head off. That's a big difference. Yeah. Amen. And so I had an inmate. He started getting mad and started cussing me out and whatnot. Peaceful religion. He went back to his cell. 2 weeks later, his wife called that his daughter had hung herself and she was in a coma. And I said, well, I went up and I talked to the inmate. I said, look, I don't know what you do in your religion, but as Christians, we pray and ask God to work. Is it okay for me to pray for your daughter that's in a coma? What do you think he's going to say? He said, yeah. So we prayed. And I said, you know, a lot of them grew up in a Baptist church. And they talk bad about the Christian religion. But when you ask them, what does your mom go to church? Oh, my mom's also a Baptist church. Oh, so your mom's wrong? Then they stop talking about negative about the Lord then. Make a long story longer, a couple of weeks later, the guy, his daughter came through and the mom called and said, hey, my daughter is fine. And I went back and told him, I said, hey, I want to let you know that your daughter is okay. You see, sometimes bad things happen and they know that you love them in spite of you telling them the truth, that they don't like the truth. Hell is real. These missionaries that are here, let me just read this here real quickly. We have the Bells going to Thailand. Why are they going to Thailand? To preach the gospel to rich people so they won't die and go to hell. Why would you support them so they could go do that? Italy. Why would you support them so they could tell people the same thing? East Africa. Chile. West Africa. Barnabas 1040 window. Uganda. Prison ministry. We're all doing the same thing. We all have the same goal, is to reach people, Tell them that there's a real hell, but that there's a real God that made a way of escape. Amen. See, all these religions say, well, you can go up the mountain like this. The Buddhas believe this. Muhammad and Hare Krishna, all the Catholicism, they all believe they can go up the mountain. But we believe the God of the mountain. Amen. The God that made the mountain. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to ask you, are you involved in soul winning? You used to be excited about telling people, inviting people to church. Two things it'll cost you is going to cost you time and money in the ministry. Time and money. Of your time, if you're going to be in the bus ministry, it takes your time. You take people, you'll pick people up, you bring them back. But you know what? It's worth it. When it's all said and done, let me finish with this. I've preached in truck stops, in street corners, everywhere I could preach. And I used to go to this truck stop, and I go into a Flying J's, and I'm preaching, and a door opened up where a trucker would walk in, and I stopped my message, and I said, you want to go to heaven when you die? Trust Christ. You want to go to hell? Trust something else. And then I continue my message. And then another guy would open the door to come in, and I said, you want to go to heaven when you die? Trust Christ. You want to go to hell? Trust something else. Then I continue my message. And I would do that like 12 different times. And these people would stop and they would just listen to the message. Why? If they could just hear that, you get their attention. Or even in a street corner, just a red light. Sir, where are you going when you die? The guy looking at you like, warning people. We ought to warn people. There's warning signs. There's danger signs. We ought to warn people. Kind of an awkward delivery tonight, but I hope that you get it tonight, okay? Hell is real. Would you stand tonight? Would you stand? Maybe tonight you can rededicate your time to soul winning. Maybe to continue to support missions. Whatever God's worked in your heart. Maybe God's calling you to preach or to surrender in a mission field. However God spoke to you tonight. If he didn't speak to you tonight, ask the Lord, why aren't you speaking to me tonight, Lord?
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.